Christmas song, The 12 Days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, my true love. Stop, we're not doing that. That song reminds us of an important truth, that Christmas is not just December 25th, that it's actually 12 days. It's a season that we walk through to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, man divine. It's a time that we remember how great a moment that was. Did you know that Easter is more than just one Sunday? Easter for us is 50 days. Imagine that song. On the first day of Easter, we won't. This season of Easter celebrates this amazing truth that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, that he's dealt with our sins, that he's offered a world of hopelessness hope, that he has triumphed over the world of flesh and the devil. Did you know that the church for generations has called it the Great 50 days? This morning, we stand in that season. This morning, we are there with the disciples as God has reminded us of the glory of his son, Jesus Christ, and the joy that the resurrection brings about in our lives. It is a focal point of human history, and it is beautiful. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that your word would open eyes, that your scriptures would enlighten hearts, as Paul says in Ephesians, that we might know the glory and beauty of Jesus this morning, that our hearts might come back from wherever they have wandered this morning, this season, this year, this time. Father, show us Jesus this morning. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I've heard the gospel explained in somewhat simplistic terms of a check being cashed. On the cross, God writes a check that covers our sin, every sin that we have committed, will commit, ever will commit. That check gets deposited, and the resurrection is that check being cleared. I can't tell you the last time I actually wrote a check. So that metaphor might be a little dated. But it's still true. The resurrection reminds us that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made is cleared. It has been accepted. And that Christ is no longer in a grave, but he is resurrected and reigning. It's a transactional gospel. Jesus takes my sin and gives me his righteousness. Paul would say in Corinthians, for our sake, he who knew no sin would become sin so that we might know the righteousness of God. It's a transactional gospel that has happened. And here's why that's really important for us this morning. A former student reached out to me a few years ago, and a friend of hers had Googled the question, who goes to heaven? And this is one of the responses that came up. Only those who do not have tattoos, who do not drink alcohol, and who do not eat pork products. We live in a culture that is starved for hope and is being fed lies about the gospel. If we're going to offer them anything of substance, we must offer them a transactional gospel with a beautiful Jesus, one who takes our fears and gives us his peace, one who takes his own breath and gives us his presence, and one who takes this mission of the kingdom of God and gives it movement. You heard one of John's accounts of the resurrection. Let me read the first few verses. On the evening of the first day of the week, with the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Here's the first way the gospel is transactional. Jesus replaces his followers' fear with his own peace. Now, think about that with me for a moment. Lots of research has been done around trauma in the past several years. How men and women process tragic events, and how it's possible to heal from such events. The human spirit is remarkable in its ability to overcome and to adapt, and this only happens in safe environments. These disciples had just watched the execution of their friend. That would have been traumatic by any definition. And now they are shut up in a room, locked doors, and afraid. Where does your fear lead you? What doors do we lock out of fear? I was camping several years ago alone at night on an island off the coast near Bulls Bay when I heard in the marsh the sound of something that sounded large. I gathered my wits and my flashlight, and my mind started racing. Could have been a bear, could have been a wild pig, could have been a cougar, could have been an alligator. My heart pounding, I grabbed my flashlight, I unzipped my nice little nylon safety, which was my tent, and I poked my head out, and I shone my flashlight out, and this little marsh hen fluttered away. This little bird, about the size of my fist, got my heart moving the way a marathon could never. I was afraid. Fear can make us foolish. It can drive us to isolation. It can cause us to lock doors and drown in worry. But thanks be to God, those are no barriers to the resurrected Jesus Christ. At that moment, on the empty tomb, an incredible transaction takes place. In that morning, in that evening, in the upper room, doors locked, Jesus comes and he speaks peace to their fear. He commands peace. Look at how the author of Hebrews describes Jesus, right? This is how the book of Hebrews begins. Chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through all things, he has created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe. Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. And that same mouth that upholds the universe speaks peace into the disciples' fear and into our fear this morning. You thought that the passing of peace was just a quirky thing the Anglicans did to make the introverts uncomfortable. It's not. Towards the end of our service, we're going to remind one another of that peace that Christ has spoken over us. Do you know that today? Do you want to know that today? Do you want to be a person of peace this morning? The resurrected Jesus takes our fears and gives us his peace, regardless of what has happened, regardless of what will happen. But that's not all. Verse 21 of John chapter 20, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Notice again that he proclaims peace. This probably has never happened to you. It happened to me frequently when I was younger and even today, when I failed to do something. My parents would say, "What? I told you once, I'm going to tell you again." Jesus gives us this command of peace again. And then he adds, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Here is their commissioning. Here is their ordination. Here is their confirmation. But they're not left to do it on their own. It says that he breathed on them. Now, that's a fun wordplay in the original language. Spirit and breath are the same word. It's lost on us in English. But he gives them his presence. He gives us the Holy Spirit. That God, the Holy Spirit, dwells with his people. We're not left to do this great kingdom mission on our own. He gives us his presence. And oh, that we could unpack that more, and we will in 50 days once Easter's over, because after 50 days comes Pentecost, right? But now we know that we are not left to do this alone. God has given us his Spirit. He has given us his presence. He has given us himself. John Wesley, a minister in the 1700s, famously said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. Such alone will shake the gates of hell." I believe, give me a church of 100 who fear nothing but sin, desire nothing but God, who are hungry for his presence and filled and daily refilled with his Spirit, who love their neighbors, who love their enemies, who know the peace that God offers through the resurrection. Give me those kind of people, and we will see a city changed. Churches planted, marriages restored, broken people healed, frightful people given peace. And you might be sitting there thinking, that's a pretty arrogant statement to say. But what you need to know is I believe this because it wouldn't be us. It would be God the Holy Spirit working through his people. Jesus doesn't leave the disciples powerless. He leaves them with his presence. Do you know that the same God, the Holy Spirit, that dwells with the disciples is the same God, the Holy Spirit, that dwells in this place this morning? Is the same God, the Holy Spirit, that will dwell in your car on the way to work tomorrow morning or in school in your classrooms? Do you know the presence of God? 1 Corinthians 12 says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Can you say that today and mean it? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, the resurrected Jesus. He takes our fears and he gives us his peace. The resurrected Jesus takes our wanderings and our powerlessness and gives us his presence. And finally, he takes the mission of God and he gives it movement. We've got to look at John chapter 20, verse 23. We have to. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Scripture passages like this in the hands of sinful people can be like a baseball bat. Whole theologies have been built around this one verse without understanding its context or its condition. Here's what they get right. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. It is freeing. It unlocks doors of shame and pride and guilt. It is powerful. And this verse gives us and shows us its power. This verse, however, does not give us the process. Let me say that again. This verse shows us the power of forgiveness. It does not give us the process. The way this passage flows, the way that this verse ends, it's meant to highlight, to reinforce to the disciples and to us today that forgiveness is a work of God, but the announcing of forgiveness, the announcing of God's grace to sinners is a work that we've been entrusted to. In this passage, the verbs, forgiven and withheld, are in what is called the perfect tense. I know that kind of glosses eyes over. People get kind of comfortable when we start talking about this kind of stuff. But what you need to know about that is that that means that it's an action that has been completed in the past but announced in the present. For example, if I was to tell you I did my taxes, that was something I did in the past. hopefully before that due date. But it's something I'm telling you in the present. One commentator on these verses said this, that after setting aside their fears and filling them with the Holy Spirit, Jesus points to the reality that there are those in our lives who are outside of the kingdom, whose sins are not dealt with, and forgiveness is something we announce, not something we create. Christ deals with us exactly where we are, and he does not leave us there. Who in your life needs to hear that forgiveness is a reality? He gives us the power and authority to be witnesses to that very fact. Today, see the reality of the resurrection in your life. See it not as just some piece or part. See it as the glass that focuses Christ into a laser beam, like a surgeon that heals the sin-sick soul. If you struggle with fear or shame or doubt or even anger towards God, hear this today. Jesus offers you peace. Peace that is deeper than our fears. Peace that is more solid than our shame. Peace that assuages our anger and transcends our standings, even when we are locked in that upper room. Do you want to know peace this morning? The resurrection is transactional. He takes our fears and he gives us his peace. Today, as a believer, do you know that God the Holy Spirit, his presence resides with you? That as you sit here in this service, God's Spirit is with you. If you're joining us online, God's Spirit is with you. Because of the resurrection, we have assurance that his presence dwells with his people. The resurrection is transactional. It takes his own breath and gives us his presence. Today, do you know that you are forgiven? That what separates you from God has been dealt with. And because of that, we have a witness and a message. Just as the Father has sent Jesus in the fullness of time, he sends us to live out loud a gospel of grace and to announce a different kingdom. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And God so loves this community, your workplaces, schools, classrooms, carpool lines, that he is sending you. Announce it. Shout it from the rooftop. I think there's a simple application for this morning. And we're going to do something that makes Anglicans a little uncomfortable. We're just going to go off script for a minute. I'm going to ask Danny to come. And just as you have received, I want to give us some space, some time. But we might just sit or stand or kneel or sing. And just recognize the presence of God in this place this morning. That he desires to be close to you this morning. Not because you're good enough. Not because you've done the right things. But because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And so I just want to give us space this morning to sit in that. To let our fears be replaced by his presence. To be filled again with his Holy Spirit. To know the beauty and truth of the gospel, that grace is a reality. Here's my heart.